Brother Leroy and I are often on the same sheet of music, and we are today, because he was talking about, this morning, he was talking to you about burdens and what to do if you were burdened, and the situations that you might run into, and to always trust in God. And Jesus said that he would carry our burden for us. And so that is pretty well down the line of what I had for our message today, brother. And just trusting in God and trusting in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's not a soul in this room today that hasn't experienced a lot of trauma in their life. Everybody has trauma. Everybody has situations. Everybody gets spiritually and emotionally beat up. There's just never seems to be a time in our lives when everything is going along perfect and just stay there. Just about the time that you think you've got it all together, I promise you, life's going to throw you a curveball. The Bible says that, and the Bible teaches that it's not going to be perfect for you. It's going to be sometimes when we have to trust in God alone. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy ways, thy paths. I can promise you this. The day that you take your eyes off of Jesus, if you're a Christian, the day that you take your eyes off of Christ Jesus and start putting it on the world, or putting it on the power of the world, or all of the problem-solving ways of the world, you are going to get in some deep, serious trouble, because you're going to go in the ditch. It's like driving an automobile down the highway when you got somebody with bright lights coming in your way. And you're just going to get blinded and wind up in the ditch. No need for me to tell you today all the situations and problems that we have in our country and in our nation and even in the churches and in our families, and all of the issues that we have and the emotional traumas that we have and that we're going through. Now, the question here is, where do you put your trust and where do you put your confidence and your faith in all of these trials and tribulations and situations? And the Bible was just telling us, trust in God. Put your faith and trust in God, and putting it any other way is going to lead to a train wreck. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he would lead us and guide us. One of the things I want to point out here is that he shall direct us in all his ways. For one to take good direction, we must be pretty good listeners. Amen. One of the things that we've all observed, I've observed it and you have too, is with children, sometimes children don't behave exactly as well as we'd like for them to. Sometimes they are a little headstrong. Sometimes they're going to do things their way. And you know, sometimes they need just a little correction, or they need to be guided in a certain pathway with love and tenderness. That's the same way that adults are. Sometimes we just need a little guidance. We need somebody to point the direction, and that's what the person who wrote the Proverbs was talking about here. Trusting and putting our faith in the Lord Jesus. We all understand that we have problems and situations. God wants us to trust him. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to live and breathe him every day. And he wants us to have the confidence in him that he can lead us through any trial or tribulation that we may have. God wants us to trust him even in the bad times, in the worst of times, in the situations where we can see no end, or we can say no good thing coming. I've written down just a few things here this morning that I wanted to. They're humorous things, but they're just points that make a good point. Sometimes you get up and you know you're not having a good day. When you wake up face down on the pavement. Now, let's look at that literally. Have you ever been there? Huh? Have you ever been face down on the pavement? I have, you have, most of us have. Praise God for those who haven't. You know you're not having a good day when you call the suicide prevention hotline and they put you on hold. Amen. That's not a good day. You know you're not going to have a good day when you look up and you see a 60 Minutes crew standing at your door. Amen. You know that you're not going to have a good day when your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You know you're not going to have a good day when you turn on the news and they're showing emergency routes out of the city. You know you're not going to have a good day when your sister forgets your birthday and your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you are following a group of Hell's Angels down the freeway. You know that there's going to be a bad day and a situation. These are humorous things that I came up with that day that I just to show you. That we don't always have good days. Sometimes it's bad times. Sometimes it's just dreary times. The issue is, it's not if you're going to have a bad day or if you're going to have trauma in your life or if you're going to have situations that's going to bog you down. It's when is it going to happen? I got to tell you something. It is going to happen to you. We have people in the church right now that's having some situations and these bad times are going to go through, and these bad times are going to beset us. But we have to learn how to trust if on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Job this morning and look at a man who knew a lot about trials and temptations and hardship and things that happened to him. And let's try to look at him and examine him. Job chapter 1. If you have never read the book of Job through, I would recommend that you do that. It is a wonderful poetic book. It's all about poeticness. And it talks about and shows the patience of an innocent man. All the things that happened to him. Read it slowly. Do not read it quickly and try to get to the end. Read it in a version of the Bible that you're comfortable with, that you can understand it. And I'd suggest that you read maybe one or two chapters per day. Just kind of read through Job. And you'll come away with a different perspective on patience, understanding, and trusting in God. Job was a man who was a godly person. He was a righteous man. He was a good man. And God chose to bless Job. And then, of course, Satan comes up against Job, and Satan goes to God and talks about Job and how weak he could make him and how bad he could treat him, and that Job would turn away from God and fall away. And God said, well, let's just try it. I'm going to turn Job over to you. You can do whatever you want to do to him, but you just can't kill him. And you can mistreat him. You can do everything that you want. And so Satan went about trying to prove that he could turn one of God's people away from God. And so he did all kind of things to Job, and it's just a wonderful story as you read about this time in Job's life when Satan was attacking him. And let's begin reading here in Job chapter 1, and we're going to read the introduction here, and then we're going to skip a little bit, and then we will continue on some more. But the first five verses is Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Get that? He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, or in other words, one who respected God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, and every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now, in this introduction of Job and the kind of man he was a blessed man. He was a very well established man in the community during this time. He was a very wealthy man. And he trusted God so much and respected God so much that he was always, and the Bible says he was continually making sacrifices for his children. Now, the reason he was doing that was he knew they were good kids and good sons and daughters, but he just wanted to make sure that they didn't think sinful thoughts. Jesus said it best, that if you think about a sin, then it becomes a sin to you. And so Job was always aware that his children could falter and that they might just sin, even in their mind, and that they could sin and not even be aware of it. So he made sacrifices for each of them on a continuing basis, and that's how content and focused he was on serving God. He had a great house, and he was trying to look out for his house as best he could. And then along comes Satan and begins to do his test on Job, and we skip there on up to Job chapter 1, verse 13. Let's look at that. Now, make some parallels between yourself and Job. When we read about Job, let's think about the things that he's going through in these situations and compare them to ourselves. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans, which were their enemies, fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." Now, what the situation was there, that Job's workers in the field, his people in the field, and all of the working animals were stolen or killed, and one person remained alive to go back and tell Job and brought him the bad news. While he was yet speaking, and while this man was speaking, here comes another also. And he said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and that consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now, I got a feeling about that time Job was beginning to become acutely aware of something. His world was collapsing around him. He was losing his wealth, and all kind of situations were happening. Verse 17 says, "While he was yet speaking, there also came another, and he gave him this: the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He had not only lost his wealth, he lost his family, his sons and daughters were dead. Tornado, some windstorm had collapsed the house on him. And so his life went from really super good one day to super bad the next day. And other things throughout this book began to fall upon Job. And he was tested in many other ways. But what the Bible says is that he stayed true to God and he trusted in the Lord with all his heart and leaned not into his own understanding. If we could go back and paraphrase that back to Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5. Verse number 20, here's how he handled this. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, he never blamed God for everything that had beset him, and all of the things, and all the problems and situations that he had. And his whole world collapsed. Now, you can imagine now, here's where this came from. It's kind of like a millionaire in modern times. A millionaire today went bankrupt, and tomorrow he finds himself at the homeless shelter with not a dime in his pocket and with nothing. That's happened. This is what happens to Job. Nothing good was coming out of this except the praise and honor and glory that he was giving God and the trust that he was putting into God. And through all of this, Job sinned not. I don't know how strong I could be in a situation like that. We all think about if our world collapses. What if your family was wiped out? What if everything you had was gone? What if you found yourself completely alone, beat up, and just everything snatched away from you? Would you still be willing to come to church the next Sunday morning and sit in one of these seats and raise your hands up and start singing, It's Amazing What Praising Can Do? Would you be able to do that? I'll tell you something. I don't know about that. It'd be a hard thing for me. It'd be a hard test for me. I've been tested, and I've had problems and situations, but not nearly as bad as some other people have. I've often thought about it. Could I stand up to the pressure, under the pressure that some of the rest of the people in this church has had to go through, some of the things that's beset them, and some of the traumatizing things that's happened to some of you? Could I deal with that and get the situations? We all got problems and situations and trauma in our life, and it's important. This book of Job tells us and points us back to what's important, to put our faith and confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we handle tribulation and trials? And how deep is our faith? What is our faith? Our faith should be in Christ Jesus and our trust in Him. You know, the Bible talks about faith and even explains faith and tells us what it is. Faith is the hope or the substance of things unseen. Hope for, but unseen. It's faith. You know what? There's a little story I like about faith that I've told before. There was a high wire walker who had a tight line stretched across between two buildings over a busy street in New York, and he was several stories up. He walked across the tight wire, went from roof to roof, right over the danger, walked alone, never wavered. He got over to the other side, and the man was waiting on him over there, and he said, Brother, that was the most courageous thing that I've ever seen. He said, You are a truly focused man. You are blessed. He said, I know you can do just about anything that you set your mind to. And the tightrope walker said, "Do you think I can do it again?" And the man said, "Sure, there's no problem." So the man went over there and got a wheelbarrow, the tightrope rope walker, and he put the wheelbarrow wheel on the rope. And he told the man, "Get in the wheelbarrow." Now that's what he was testing his faith. He had confidence that the man could walk the tightrope again and go back, but how far did his faith go? Was he ready to put his life in that man's hands and get in the wheelbarrow? That's the way we have to look at it when we have to trust. We need to trust God in the things in our lives that's so traumatic and turmoil and problems and situations. We need to trust in God without question. When we start questioning God, we start getting wavering. And the Bible says a man that wavers is like an unsettled sea. We have to be completely and totally committed to God, trusting in everything He says and tells us to do. Trusting in Him is the way, is a long and tiresome way. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'll turn there quickly. Give me just a second. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Do you know that many people lose their way? A lot of people that starts out on the straight and narrow lose their way. A lot of people who are in politics with very good intention and start off as honest people, when the temptation is put before them, they become corrupt. Same thing in all of walks of life. You know, even in the church, pastors, deacons, church ministers, people in ministry positions begin and start out with the greatest of intentions, and sometimes they take their eyes off Jesus, and they start depending on their own self-reliance, and they start depending on their own ability to do things, to get things done, and they begin to waver. And that's when the situation begins. We've seen some high and mighty television evangelists collapse because of their wavering faith, because of their confidence that they had it all going right. They were in the big church now, making the big money, and the TV camera were on. And it wasn't long before their world collapsed. And we've seen this happen to many, many people, many, many times, in many situations in life. Did you know one of the very best places that I know of for you to get your heart broken? And I'm not exaggerating this. And I'm not beating up on the church, because I love the church. But do you know that one of the very best places to get your heart torn out is in the church? You know why? Because you trust your pastor, and you trust your brothers and sisters around you. And all of the time, maybe you shouldn't be trusting them with your whole heart. Sometimes people will let you down. God will never let you down, and Jesus will never let you down. But sometimes your brothers and sisters in the church may let you down. They may not be there for you when you really need them. I've had several people that's left the church, and some of them has told me, "I felt like the church let me down in different kind of situations and different things that I just couldn't do some of the things they wanted me to do. They were asking things that was outside of my control and outside of my reach. I've had several people that left the church and in this church that used to go to church here regularly, and they come to me and ask me if I pay their rent this month, or can the church pay our rent this month? We just don't have the rent money. And I have to just empathize with them, tell them I'll pray for them, and if offer them any other assistance that I can. I can't just take a month's rent out of the church and pay somebody's rent for them. But I've had many people leave because I wouldn't do that. I've had people leave because I've let them down, and I have. Sometimes I have let them down because of just forgetfulness. When I promised to call somebody about an important situation or important thing, I've let people down. And they had the idea that they couldn't depend on me anymore. There's all kinds of ways to get hurt in church. Now, I want to tell you something. If you stay in any family situation where there's several family members, sometime, one day, there's going to be some conflict in that family. You're going to be caught up in it. All I can advise you and tell you is don't lose hope. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. If one of your family members has belittled you or cheated you or lied to you or become undependable for you or scolded you or corrected you and you get your feelings hurt and you're sensitive people and you get hurt, my advice to you is to keep on loving that person. Keep loving that person and praying for them and be a part of that family unit. Now, sometimes the family unit will get so bad, but it's seldom, but it can get so bad that you probably need to leave. You probably need to separate yourself from some of these situations, but that's not the case in most cases. Most of the cases, the time is we get our feelings hurt. We're sensitive, and we don't get our way, or we have unfulfilled expectations, and we get angry, or we get hurt in a family situation, and we withdraw. That's the reason the divorce rate in America is 50%. Divorces, and I've heard one psychologist say it, and I think it's very true. Divorces are a product of selfishness on somebody's part. They don't want to go all the way. They don't want to live up to their marriage vows that they take this partner for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and in health. They forget about that part because they want their way, and they want and they get upset if they can't get it that way. These kind of things will cause trauma in the family. It'll cause mothers and fathers to get upset with the children to get upset with the parents, of conflict between marriage partners that can lead to divorce if it's not addressed and attended to, relationships, all sorts of situations. Good friends, close friends. Have you ever had a friend that you just thought was going to be your friend for life, and all of a sudden something just blew up and problems, it fell apart? These things are going to happen. Be patient. Don't run away. Don't quit. Get hurt. Get over it. Family situations. And like I said before, and Brother Leroy and I both experienced this, you've experienced, you can get your heart torn out and hand it back to you on a platter in the church by people. By people who were well-meaning people who might have been trying to help you, but they were out of a little overzealousness. They made it sound like they were correcting you or giving you corrections. Sometimes pastors have to give corrections to people. I try to do it softly and privately. And I don't ever condemn people. I try to just point out, the right way of doing things, but sometimes people get their feelings hurt. Hey, pastors are human beings too. Hey, we get our feelings hurt. We people in the church say things that hurt us. It may be the voice, the tone of voice that they use with us. It may be what they say to us. It may be condemning to us. We are sensitive people, and Christians should be the most sensitive and humble people in society, the church, the people in the church. But I can promise you this, and you few that are here and are left, you have been through the wars, and you've got the scars to prove it, because you stayed where many have cut and run, left, found excuses. You know that you're going to get hurt by somebody sooner or later. And by the way, and this is just a side note, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm subject to hurting your feelings or saying something that's not proper, or maybe being snappy, or maybe being too judgmental, or saying no when I should say, well, let me consider that. So please understand that I'm just a human being. I'm not a God. I'm just a human being like you. And so if I ever hurt your feelings, please come and talk to me about it. Please, if we can come to some understanding. What happens most times when we have conflict with one another and with people in our families, in our church, or between marriage partners, we just don't deal with it, and we just kind of push it away and say, well, you know, I'm going to make out like that didn't happen. Please, you have to deal with conflict in your family, in your church, with your partners, or any place. You have to deal with conflict and avoid letting it grow bigger and start beginning to work on you and get you upset. And most times the person that you feel like has hurt you, they're not even aware of it much of the time. So please, if there's any time, is any problem or conflict between Brother Leroy and I, and you please make a point to come and point that out. God is the God of the mountain, and he's also the God of the valley. Right, Sister Joyce? I wish to hear you just break out and start singing that song. Amen. God, and she sings it so well. I love that song. He's the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountaintop, and he's always there with us. You know, I know two people in my life right now. Two important people in my life that I love very much. Both of them have cancer. Both cancers are it's a bad kind of cancer. They're bad health. Not good. Prognosis is not good. And each of them deals with this cancer differently. Both are Christians, professing Christians. One deals with it by depending upon the doctors and the hospitals. I mean, they never miss a pill. They never miss an appointment. They are on the ball with the doctor. Whatever the doctor says, they're researching, listening, doing. And they're always pointing that out. Doctor said this, doctor said that, I need to do this, and I gotta do that. And they put their faith and confidence in a medical system but the other man who is also sick and terminally ill, his prognosis is very poor. And I've talked to him several times about this situation, and you know what his testimony and his claim is, well, God's been good to me. He's let me live this long, and God's in control. If God wants to cure me and heal me, he's going to do so. And if he wants to take my life and take me on to him, all I'm going to do is go to heaven. So I'm just going to praise him and give him the honor and the glory for whatever he does with his cancer. I hope I can be healed, but if not, then I'm just going to put my hands completely in his hands. And those are two different scenarios of how people handle situations. I hope that I'm like the one that puts my faith and confidence completely in God. I hope that I'd be that strong, and I hope that I'd be the one. Now, I'm not going to turn down medical attention or medical advice or medical treatment and just shun that. But I will tell you this, whatever God has in store for me, I hope that I have the strength to understand it and to accept it for the way that it is. So this morning, I tried to talk to you a little bit about trusting God completely, because I got to tell you, it's not if the trials are going to come, they will come. We're going to have to get out there in the world. I know that people get scuffed up at work, and I know that people get scuffed up in family situations and in churches and family and all kind of situations. You're going to have to sail out there on the blue. You're going to have to go through the storm sometime. Someone, a philosopher, wrote that ships are perfectly safe in harbors. But then he added, but that's not what ships are made for. Ships are not made to be in harbors. Not made to be in safe harbors and safe haven. They're made to be out on in the stormy waters, sailing and completing a task and going and doing and serving a purpose. That's where your life is. You're never, ever going to get completely comfortable and safe in this church. It ain't going to happen. You're never going to get completely safe in your family. Things not going to be perfect for you in your family. You're going to have trial and tribulation. But be one of the ones that focus and stay and said, I'm going to be one to complete the race. I'm going to be one of those who completes the task. And my faith is going to carry me through. Amen. Can you commit to that this morning? Amen. I know you can. I've seen you do it. I've seen you keep going when you're scuffed up. I've seen you going when I was scuffed up and you didn't quit. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus today, we come to you today, and we know what the Bible says, and the Bible tells us, Lord, that there's going to be trials and tribulations. It's not, that it's not going to be perfect. And, you never promised Job a perfect life. You blessed him and gave him many blessings. You never promised anybody perfect life and perfect happiness. We know that things are going to happen. We know we're going to have to face sickness, illness, injury, trauma, financial situations, marriage situations, family situations, situations in the church. We know, Lord, that we're going to face trauma from time to time. But Lord, I pray today that you will just help us and just keep us focused and help us, Lord, to remain and put our complete faith and trust in you and our confidence in you, knowing that as long as we stay in your hand, Lord, that everything's going to be all right and everything's going to be safe and you're going to care us through. And I just thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Like you never know, but things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. Follow God on the mountain. He's the God in the valley. When things go wrong, you make you right. And the God is the God in the bad times, the God of the day is still God in the night.